What we need to know about Islam is that it's the world's fastest growing religion and the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel.
Hank Canagraph of the Bible Answer Man talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The current narrative is that if you tell the truth in this regard, well, you'll radicalize Muslims. But that's pure propaganda. What we need to do is wake up to the truth concerning Islam.
You can meet and hear Hank Canagraph making the case against Islam at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
It seems quite hypocritical, actually, for secular progressives on the one hand to say that people ought not to bring religious arguments and religious motivations into the public square, and then on the other hand to praise Martin Luther King for his work and witness.
Christus Victor is Christ whom the Father sends into the flesh precisely so that he can defeat the enemies of the human race. He's the great warrior striding onto the field.
Then the Lutherans, they brought us over here.
Everybody blames the Lutherans.
Missouri dairy farmers love Issues Etc.
After 30 years of writing about the topic of religion in the news, Terry Mattingly, regular guest here on the program, has assembled some rather keen observations about trends in religion news. Not just trends in religion, but how it's also covered. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, the 13th of April. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Terry Mattingly, continuing a conversation on trends in religion news here in the first half hour of today's program, talking a little bit about splits in evangelicalism and how even in evangelicalism and in American religion, celebrities rule. A little bit later, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery joins us. Physicist Stephen Hawking recently passed away. He was working on a paper, turned out to be his last paper, published posthumously about the multiverse. That is, not the universe, but the fact that there may in fact be an infinite number of universes, so to speak. We'll talk with Dr. Montgomery about that topic and Stephen Hawking. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We'll talk about the return of Mark Driscoll. When he was hot, he was very hot. When he was a big deal, he was a very big deal. He's been gone for a while, but now he's coming back. Pastor Chris Roseborough will tell us all about it. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got four soundbites to play for you. When we play them in the last half hour of the program, all you need to do is listen and then give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC or go to our Facebook fan page and vote there, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Your vote will decide which of the four will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Remember, if you're going to email us or send us a tweet or leave your vote at our Facebook fan page, tell us where you listen and most importantly, why you're voting for the soundbite you're voting for. Yesterday, we recorded an interview with Terry Mattingly about trends in religion news. Terry Mattingly is senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. We talked with him yesterday about how James Davison Hunter's Culture Wars thesis explains almost everything we need to know, and that was written 20 years ago. He talked about the death of the liberal First Amendment coalition and demographics as destiny in the church. In other words, which religions are growing. Today we'll play part two of our interview. I asked Terry about splits in evangelicalism that aren't only about President Trump.
Politics is in there, but of course we've been involved in a hurricane of ink about evangelicals and Donald Trump. I found it interesting that the very first column I wrote in 1988, the very first column that went national as a part of this syndication deal, was a column it was ostensibly it was about Pat Robertson, but what it was really about was evangelicals trying to come to terms with the White House and what it meant to try to have political power in the White House. Some things don't change, right? But what I meant by the divisions within evangelicalism is evangelicals live in the same surrounding culture as everybody else. And as someone who grew up Southern Baptist and was familiar with some of the theological tensions inside Southern Baptist life, there really is, although as strange as it sounds, there really is a Southern Baptist left. And when I say that, I don't just mean politically, I mean theologically. Now, it's not terribly large, and it's aging like a lot of the other mainline Protestants, and their few organizations are having budget cuts and everything else. But the growth of a genuine evangelical left is one of the major stories of our day, in my opinion. And I'm defining, you know me well enough to know, I really don't define things in whether people call themselves Republicans or Democrats. I mean, there used to be tons of conservative evangelicals who were in the Democratic Party as recently as 25 years ago, 30 years ago. And today, there still are lots of conservative evangelicals who are in the Democratic Party, but they're primarily Latino or African American. What fascinates me is the development of a theological evangelical left. And I think that that is the trend we're going to be seeing more and more often, in large part because the mainline press, the elite mainstream press, wants to have some evangelical voices, but wants to have some evangelical voices that don't rock the boat that much. So we're going to be, there's a couple of columnists at the New York Times that they call New York Times conservatives. Well, I think, yeah, we're going to be seeing the rise of the New York Times evangelical.
Who are some of the leaders of the new evangelical left, not only politically, but theologically?
You know, I'm really hesitant to name names because some of them are so young. Now, obviously, you know, we had this red letter revival in Lynchburg last week, and some of the old guard showed up, and Tony Campolo would lead, you know, the list. But you have lots of people, and you mainly, of course, see them as the people who are debating issues related to gay rights. I mean, someone who I've respected for a long time, but in that Atlantic Monthly piece about a month ago, Michael Gerson basically said most evangelicals are just way too concerned about gay rights and religious liberty. The threat really isn't all that bad, which is how they ended up selling out to Trump, of course, was his point. And I thought for a second, that's really interesting, because most of the people that I see emerging on the evangelical left, a lot of them are pro-gay, and we've heard some controversies about books coming out from evangelical writers that are pro-gay, but kind of like in the communist era, in the Cold War, you had people who were not pro-communism, but they were anti-communism. Within evangelicalism right now, especially in academia, we have a lot of people who are not pro-gay rights in terms of church doctrine, but they're anti-orthodoxy in terms of defending what the church teaches on marriage and sexuality. Rather than naming names, let me just say that the place to watch is the elite Christian campuses. Keep your eye on places like Wheaton, Taylor, huge battles going on and have been for several years now at Gordon College, where one of my own children graduated. Biola. Look within the battles to define Baylor, my own alma mater, where the ultimate holy of holies, football. I mean, it's going to come down to whether or not Baylor is going to be allowed to enforce Christian doctrine on faculty, staff, and students to any degree at all and be allowed to stay in the Big 12. It was a shot over the bow a little over a year ago when the student life human rights committees of the Big 12 schools successfully prevented Brigham Young University from being able to join the Big 12. Why did they not want Brigham Young in the Big 12? It boils down to doctrinal battles about marriage and sexuality. So keep your eyes on academia. If any of these religious left people break out at the level of media, that will really begin to be important at the level of columnists, etc. That'll be fascinating to watch.
Well, I'm thinking of one, I think, who already has, and that's Jonathan Merritt.
That would be a name, but Jonathan Merritt right now also is serving as kind of a, if you follow him on Twitter, where I agree with him about half the time and disagree with him about half the time, he also, as a writer, has served as a popularizer of the views of some people on the evangelical left. So he might be thought of more as a kind of a conduit for this thought into the mainstream through the Atlantic and through Religion News Service and the many other places he writes. And, of course, he is a very fine writer, which is to people who argue with him, which is what makes it hard to argue with him.
The final observation that you've made, reflecting on 30 years of writing the On Religion column, Terry, is celebrities rule. What in the world do you mean by that?
Well, I mean it in two senses. One is the evangelicals have always loved having big, famous people come courting them. And that's just as true when Ronald Reagan stood up in front of a big, massive flock of evangelicals and said, "I know you can't endorse me, but I can endorse you." And so the Reagan era, Reagan is the ultimate Republican celebrity, or at least he was until Donald Trump, although we can debate whether Donald Trump is a Republican. He certainly institutionally is a Republican. Meanwhile, during the last 40 years and 30 years for surely, we've watched the rise of the evangelical superchurch. And when I was teaching at Denver Seminary, when I was all writing the column at that point, and we were having a discussion in my class, the Contemporary World and the Christian Task. We were having a class one day, and there was a young student from Russia. And I said, "Now, you're an outsider. What have you noticed, or what questions do you have about Christianity in America?" Now, we were in the context of the suburban Denver at that point. And this Russian guy made a very interesting comment. He said, "Why are all megachurch pastors young, thin, very attractive, and funny? Why are there no old, balding, overweight, unattractive, scholarly megachurch pastors?" And, of course, what he's getting at here is that they're not pastors. They're entertainers. At the very least, they are religious communicators who function really well in a kind of a cool medium like television. And they're not flamethrowers anymore. They're up there sharing their thoughts about human potential and fulfillment. Well, the other thing that's happened that makes me think celebrity is going to become more and more important is the internet and digital culture divides us up more and more into niche markets, because that's how the internet works. I mean, what the internet does better than anything else is divide us up into groups that are united by our media products. Well, evangelicalism has always been a highly media-driven and superstar-driven culture. You know, in terms of its book sales, in terms of Christian radio, Christian TV. And I'm saying that that's probably going to increase even more, because as we're beginning to watch the creation of the Christian movie industry. Now, what happens when that stuff starts going direct to Netflix? Religious radio has always, to some degree, created people who aren't just religious leaders, they're celebrities. what were the original televangelists? I mean, I watched Jim and Tammy Baker up front and personal in Charlotte. And what was that other than a Christian soap opera? We really have this weakness toward loving celebrities. And when one of them falls or cracks or whatever, things can get really out of whack fast. The fall of Bill Hybels right now at Willow Creek is an interesting example, in the sense that when it comes to a theological tradition, when it comes to a structure, when it comes to accountability, what is Willow Creek? I mean, to some degree, Bill Hybels created his own denomination, right? The Willow Creek Association, and it's done a lot of very good things. I'm not attacking it, but I'm saying, what kind of church structure is that? Who is he accountable to? Who are these Christian celebrities accountable to? Other than what? The market? The marketplace? Is that what determines whether you're theologically right or wrong or healthy or unhealthy? So yeah, that's a trend I'm paying attention to as we go further and further into the digital era.
Finally, Terry, given most of the media's overall ignorance or disdain of religion,
or apathy,
will it be interested in a Get Religion column 30 years down the line?
Well, I mean, that depends on what happens to American newspapers. Will we even have kind of information sources that even attempt to speak to the common ground in the middle of American life? Or will we just totally splinter off into warring camps where we get all of our information from people who already tell us what we want to know? I think we've talked about this before. What happens if the Amazon algorithm that traces what you've purchased and then changes the ads to show you more of what they already know you want to buy? What happens when that happens to our news? What happens when the tablet in your hand literally edits your local newspaper to primarily show you stories that it already knows you're interested in? Or editorial columnists that it already knows you agree with? Because after all, that's better for circulation. You get more clicks and more forwards, and the ads get more eyes, right? So what will be happening in religion 30 years from now in terms of journalism? I don't know, but I predict that it will be a lot more opinion-oriented than what I've tried to do for 30 years with the On Religion column and with Scripps Howard and now with Universal. Sure, it's a column. I'm expressing my viewpoint, but I'm primarily expressing my viewpoint by what I choose to write about, not whether or not I ignore voices or twist what they say or whatever. That's a harsh view of opinion writing. But I've never thought of myself as an opinion writer, columnist. I'm more like a lens that shows you different stories and different pictures. That's how I view my role.
Terry Mattingly, a senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He is founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here again.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery talking about a paper published posthumously, co-authored by Stephen Hawking, about the multiverse. Stay tuned. You could win an audio DVD of every presentation from all six Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. Record your answer to the question, Issues Etc., What Does This Mean? On our comment line, 618-223-8382. If we play your answer during Issues Etc., we'll send you a conference audio DVD of almost 50 hours of teaching. 618-223-8382 and answer the question, Issues Etc., What Does This Mean? Please be sure to mention where you listen.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. This glorious good news is and always has been too good not to share. It compelled Peter, Paul, and the other apostles to the very ends of the earth, and it continues to drive Lutheran Church Missouri Synod missionaries even today. Learn more here in the April issue of The Lutheran Witness magazine. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on your family, your church, or your world, but didn't know where to begin? Concordia University, Wisconsin has an innovative, free online course for you entitled Philosophy Kata Christan. These 6 engaging video sessions are taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, lecturer, author, and pastor, Dr. Gregory Scholz. Learn more by clicking the Kata Christan logo at issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org.